Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello, you are listening to the C Squared podcast with Holly and Effie. It's a new lineup. Yay! And today we are unsupervised, but it will hopefully all be fine. We are here with the wonderful Angela Davey, who writes for Kerrang and Avi Noxum, and she has written for all sorts of amazing places as well. So thank you so much for coming back on the podcast, because this is your second time, isn't it?
Yeah, thanks, Holly. It's great to be here and it's lovely to meet you, Effie. Thanks for having me back. I'm glad I didn't leave such a horrible impression last time. You're happy to have me back.
Oh, honestly, I'm just glad we didn't scare you off.
No, all good. No worries there.
So for anyone who perhaps hasn't really read your work before or maybe doesn't quite know who you are, could you give us like a brief overview of who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I've been in the industry for coming up for 14 years now, which makes me sound incredibly old. So I started off as an intern for Terrorizer before going on to write for them full time. After that, I was involved with projects like Iron Fist magazine, She Shreds, which is based in the US. I've written some stuff for The Quietus, and I've helped to produce a number of copies of the Desert Fest London programme as well. I'm currently writing for Kerrang magazine and occasionally contribute to Avi Noctum as well. So yeah, that kind of gives just a general overview of my background and what I do.
Awesome. So Effie, do you want to ask a question?
Yeah. So Kerrang. Is back in print. I think it's been 18 months since it stopped. And it's the new issue's in print. Like how's the reception kind of been for that?
Well, it's been really great. This is actually the second print copy that we've released since production of that kind of ground to a halt. The reason being for that, I guess, is it didn't make sense for us to continue encouraging people to go out and buy a print edition of a magazine when you were being encouraged to stay at home. So the bulk of content is now online. We haven't really gone back to the regular program of the print issues because they were released on a weekly basis. So now it's kind of like if there's a print edition of Kerrang, it kind of, there's more buzz around it and it feels more special because it's more of an event. So for this particular issue, we had a launch party for it at Meat Liquor in Shoreditch. And there were people like, all of the writers were invited, obviously, and then industry people that have helped make the issue a reality. It's available in a choice of two colours as well, so you can choose whether you prefer a pink or blue cover. But yeah, it's just a really exciting thing to be a part of. Obviously, Kerrang is like a teenage staple for a lot of people that are into alternative music, and their bedroom walls were like plastered floor to ceiling in Kerrang posters and covers. So it's nice to get that back in like a real physical, tangible sense. Because the Kerrang team have done an amazing job with maintaining an online presence, but obviously nothing will ever really compare to that physical magazine. So to have that back, even if it's in a semi-regular format, is absolutely amazing.
I know, I think when I was like 13, Kerrang magazine was like the first print like music magazine that I went and bought. So it's kind of nice that it's back, and yeah, got that like nostalgia stuff with it.
Yeah,
so it's got a special place in my heart because I went to college like a few doors down from Kerrang, because I grew up in Birmingham, so I kind of always loved it. And yeah, I used to collect those magazines when I was a teenager and getting into rock and all that kind of stuff, and look at all the pictures and come all out and stuff.
Yes, it's definitely like it, like from an aesthetic perspective, like it's really kind of pleasing to look at. And there are kind of, I think they really like, they cater to their audience. They know there are people that are going to be cutting stuff out and sticking it. So because of that, all of the images are quite in a really nice, decent size to be able to do that.
Yes, you've mentioned a little bit that obviously the print format has changed a bit, as it's now a bit more of an event when it does happen. Are there any other ways, do you think, that Kerrang sort of develops a bit with the sort of print media? Because obviously it's been changing a little bit over the past few years anyway.
There's a lot of stuff that's moved online, and we're like, it's not just the music side of things that Kerrang covers anymore. Like when you go onto the website, there are there's coverage of movies, TV shows, video games, there's a lifestyle and culture section now, there's some amazing pieces that some of the writers are doing around like mental health and how to look after that, how to kind of cope with the world now things are opening up again. It's obviously like post-pandemic, going to gigs again and suddenly being in a room with hundreds or thousands of other people when you've just kind of been by yourself or a few other people for nearly 2 years is obviously quite overwhelming. So there are like think pieces written about that and first-hand accounts. So I think rather than just being purely a music publication, they've utilized that online space to kind of evolve into this really cool kind of lifestyle brand. So if music is kind of a small part of your life, but you're still into that alternative culture, there'll be something for you on the website that you can read about and enjoy. So it's kind of made it more of an inclusive space.
Yeah, that's really interesting then. So have you noticed that like the demographic has changed a bit?
Yeah, I would say it's broader. Like I feel like we are becoming more accessible, and in a way it's kind of nice that we are like shifting towards being kind of more open, more kind of LGBTQ plus friendly. Like you obviously like on the social media posts, you still get the odd comment from like people that are like, oh, like snowflakes kind of thing. But in a way it's nice because it means that we are shifting away from some of that like negativity and like kind of narrow-mindedness and becoming more, yeah, just a friendlier space for people. I think it's really great that we're like adapting to a world that is kind of zero tolerance for that kind of like unfriendly behavior. So I definitely think it's a shift in the right direction. And yeah, like I mean, Kerrang's always been progressive anyway. It's just my kind of establishing itself as that and raising brand awareness for that side of things.
So would you say that the online sort of more lifestyle brand is, are we going to see more of that in the magazine, in the print?
I would never say never. I definitely think that there is scope to do that. I think it's difficult because the print editions are kind of, not so frequent anymore. When there is the opportunity to put one out, there's so much to cover and you only have a finite amount of space. So the focus for the print edition for the moment still very much is on the music side of things. But that's not to say that in the future we wouldn't look to incorporate more of that lifestyle side of stuff. I guess it just depends on if there's the demand for it, if we have the space, or if kind of the print schedule for that becomes more regular or not. So I'd say watch this space. Like there's nothing to say it couldn't happen, but nothing definitive as yet.
Do you think this shift from just music to more alt lifestyle is something that's spreading across other sort of music online magazines?
I would definitely say so. Like obviously what you with all of the e-zines and print magazines you have, like the focus always will be on the music, but I think a lot of editors and their teams are waking up and realizing that for people that listen to that type of music, it makes more sense if you are going to a site to like read reviews or interviews. You want to keep the reader on the site, so it makes sense to have other stuff there that will interest them. But also then it makes everyone feel like they have a place on the internet as well, because I guess for it, like if you are, say for instance, you're super into metal but you really like gaming as well, a lot of the gaming websites that you might visit might not feel that welcoming for someone if you do kind of identify as outside of the mainstream. So it's good that we're giving a home to those people so that they can feel comfortable, that they can go and read about their favorite bands but then click through and see what our gaming specialist Serena is talking about that week and what she's been playing and what she recommends.
So with this difference then between what's going into the print and what's being online, as a journalist, where does your preference currently lie? What are the pros and cons for writing for either right now?
I'd say it's good. It definitely broadens your horizons, having the opportunity to write about these different things. Like for me, yeah, music's always going to be my first love. It's what I know. It's what I've grown up writing. But I do enjoy a challenge. So being able to branch out and write about other topics is super fun. And it's something I've kind of always done as well. Like back when I was writing for Iron Fist, I was doing features about like doom yoga and fire breathing and stuff. So it's kind of like all encompassing thing. So it's something that I have experience in and I enjoy doing. As long as it interests me and I feel like it kind of broadens my horizons, I'm happy to write about it.
Gotta ask, what is doom yoga?
It's actually a company run by two ladies. You can find them on Facebook. Pre-pandemic, they were running once monthly yoga sessions in London, where you would go and you just do like you would do. It was suitable for all abilities, so from like novice right the way through to advanced. Like the first session I ever went to, I'd never actually done yoga, and I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. And the lady was like, no, you'll be fine. By the end of the session, I had my legs behind my shoulders with my feet flat on the floor. But it's just like yoga that you do the movements really slowly and you focus more on the stretch. And it's to music like Burning Witch, Sun, just like really like slow drawn out music. And they've done a couple of sessions with live bands playing as well, which is pretty cool. I know that they had to kind of grind stuff to a halt during the pandemic. I'm not actually sure if they're up and running again yet, but yeah, definitely worth checking out on Facebook. It's like do.om space yoga, and yes, it's awesome. I'd really recommend it.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up. Sounds amazing. But yeah, so it's interesting with all these different types of articles and features that are being written now. In terms of like bands who are perhaps, you know, seeking promotion with getting pieces written, do you think there's a certain type of feature that benefits a band better than others? For example, because Premiere seems to be a little bit on the way out at the minute, and news features kind of are maybe overtaking views and things like that.
Have
you seen anything?
Something that Kerrang has started doing is a means to introduce bands to readers who they might never have listened to or are relatively new onto the scene. We run a feature that's like five reasons why you need to check out And we'll obviously listen to that band's latest EP or album, whatever it is, and then interview them so that they then have the opportunity to talk about themselves and what might be slightly different about them compared to any other band that's around at the moment. So a recent one that we did was with Heriot. So they had a five reasons why. The five reasons we gave were they're at the front of a new wave of really heavy British heavy metal. They've got a guitar hero in the making in their ranks. So that's their guitarist, Debbie. She's absolutely awesome. The bands that they cite as their heroes and inspiration rate them really highly. They're going on tour with Rollo Tomassi, and their new EP is obviously really, really heavy. Those are the five reasons we gave. So it's kind of a mixture of writer opinion, but also what the band have to say about themselves. So it's a really nice way to introduce new bands to listeners. And I think features like that really work because there's like a personal touch to it, alongside like just a kind of just a typical like band spouting off about themselves kind of thing.
I like that, yeah. Do you have a follow-up question on that, Holly? Or
I guess, well, it'd be quite interesting to know, do you find that like the readers like that sort of feature as well? Is that maybe a little bit more interesting for people just going to the site and looking to find something a bit different?
Yeah, I guess it's a good way for people to discover new music. I guess because I'm involved in the industry, I feel like I've taken for granted how easy it is to have like access to new stuff, because obviously you've got promos in your inbox all the time. You kind of have your finger on the pulse of what's happening, whereas if you're kind of separated from that and not involved in the industry at all, as like as a general listener or fan of music, I wouldn't know where to start with looking if it wasn't like I'm really so heavily reliant on PR people for what I listen to. So I'd say like stuff like that is super helpful, because if you know like you've read a review recently of one of your favorite band's albums on Kerrang, for instance, and you really enjoyed what you read, you could perhaps go onto the website and be like, right, what else should I be checking out right now, and come across a feature like this. And it's a nice little segue into finding out about a new band, because like we kind of litter the article throughout with like YouTube links, Bandcamp links and stuff, so that people have the opportunity to preview what they're reading about as they go through.
That's cool. So on that subject, do you think that there are certain types of coverage that are more effective than that smaller bands should be seeking out like that?
Yeah, I would definitely say like seek out the opportunity to actually grab someone and talk to them about what you're doing, because you can as great as it is to premiere an album, like that gives people no incentive to kind of go and listen to that. Whereas if you have the opportunity to say like to introduce yourselves, like this is who we are, this is the message we're trying to send, this is how we started, that's way more effective than kind of just throwing an album out into the ether and say, yeah, like this, you're getting to listen to this like 2 days before it's actually released. It's like that's like big whoop. There's no reason for it for any listener to click on that, because they've got no idea who you are.
Quite interesting to know then. What do you think are some of the most important things bands should maybe mention, you know, whether they're being interviewed or doing a feature like this? Because I think sometimes some bands, they almost maybe don't quite know their own USP, or they maybe don't quite know how to articulate it, things like that.
Um, So I'd say just like give a view of like what your take on the music scene is. If you're in a band, like what do you enjoy listening to? Where do you take your inspirations from? How you actually feel about the scene you're involved in? How you got into the instruments you play? And what interests you about that? And just give like personal anecdotes that the readers can relate to, so that there's your readers can then relate to you. Like talk about what you've got planned as a band coming up. So like it's always crucial to drop in like tour dates if you have any, so if people like what they hear, they know where they can come see you live, or failing that, drop links to where people can check you out on social media or purchase merch and CDs and stuff. And also just like just talk about the recording process for the album. So like one of the most interesting recent interview anecdotes I had was I spoke to the vocalist from Slow Crush about the recording of their latest album, and she told me that during the recording process, the studio that they were in had a glass ceiling and it was snowing at the time, so they held a microphone up to the roof and recorded the sound of that and included a sample of it on the album. And I thought that was really cool. Like that's something that if she hadn't have told me, I'd have had no idea, and like subsequently neither would the readers of Kerrang, like who were reading that feature.
Yeah, that's really cool. I know, we might have to try that. Not that it snows here very often, but
we
get some
here.
Rain sound.
Yeah, get the rain. We'll get the Manchester rain recorded. I'll do that.
So in a sort of age where there is so much new music, what can, in your opinion, a small new band do to kind of grab even a journalist's attention?
I'd say never underestimate the power of good PR. For a lot of people, it can seem unattainable or unaffordable because a lot of these PRs are hidden behind these huge big brand names, but it's often like the people doing it by themselves that are doing it best, and a lot of them are women as well. So for instance, you have Lauren Barley of Rarely Unable, absolutely amazing. Becky Laverty of Pioneer Music Press, all people that are kind of at the like doing absolutely amazing stuff for the bands that they work with. And it doesn't cost the earth, but they're like, it's great if you're in a band and you're like, yeah, we're going to do this all ourselves, but you won't have half the connections that someone that works in good PR does. So like be willing to invest in that and put the time and effort in, because they're going to get you to places and get you talking to people that you wouldn't unless you already have those contacts yourself.
Yeah, I think that's really important, because it is ultimately, PR is an investment, and it's, you know, if it's unattainable for people at a certain time, then that's completely understandable. But yeah, I think it's something people should at least consider if they can do, if they seriously want to get the music out there. So if people do want to try reaching journalists themselves, do you have any sort of quick do's or don'ts for contacting journalists? I'm sure you've had some, I don't know, maybe less preferable contacts in the past.
Yeah, I would start by don't reach out on people's personal social media. So Facebook off limits, Twitter is as long as the person's open about the fact that they write and they're actively publishing their work, Twitter's probably fine. It's a bit more of an open forum. But yeah, ask before you kind of just drop a link, or ask for an email and explain why you want it. That way the person has the opportunity to be like, no, this isn't quite right for me at the moment, or I'm not quite the right contact. You could always also be like, oh, I'm looking to do X, Y, and Z. Who would be the best person to talk to? I think just blind spamming of a Bandcamp link is the best way to get yourself ignored. So try to personalize your messages, ask if they're the right person to talk to, ask for further contact details. I think that's generally more well received than just like, here's a Bandcamp link, check us out.
Yeah.
Do you think if you are contacting journalists though, like Bandcamp is the way to go about it?
No, I would say I don't think I've ever followed up on a single Bandcamp link that I've just been blind sent, because it just feels really impersonal. And it's like, you're not giving me access to anything that the general public doesn't have. If you've already released this out into the world and people aren't listening to it of their own accord, there's nothing that I can do that's going to convince them to then go do that. So I think half the point is of like media around music is that it creates a buzz in the lead up to the release, so that on that release day there is that excitement of, oh, I can finally listen to this.
Good. Good to know. Do not send random journalists your bank account link. The end.
Do you have any more questions, Effie? I think I'm good at my end.
Well, to be honest, I probably have a million, but I think that's very off topic.
Fair enough. Well, thank you, Angela, for coming on and doing everything. Are there any links or things you would like to promote?
I just say, if you are walking past the WH Smith, make sure you pick up a copy of the new Kerrang. I have a feature with the lovely Manuel of Zeelanada in there in this issue. And yeah, you'll get your colour of preference, pink or blue.
Awesome. Oh, thank you again so much for coming on. It's been lovely talking to you. And yeah, hopefully, I don't know, maybe we'll have you back someday if you fancy coming on again.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, thank you so much.
I can ask you all my all my off-topic questions then.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%. I'm all for that.
It was very good to meet you.
No, it was great to meet you too. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting to you both.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you to everyone who's listening as well. Okay.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.